Welcome to Desi Collective and our climate change series, Our Climate is Changing, Why Aren't We? Hi, my name is Anjana Nagarajan Bhutani, and I'm here with Meera Kaimal, and together we are Desi Collective. Today, we will be talking to two amazing women in the Bay Area. Our fellow Desi Seema Ved is a climate change activist who changed her life, and it is truly inspiring how she walks the walk to incorporate sustainability in her daily life. Seema has lived in the Bay Area for a long time with her family and has three children. She works as a senior domain consultant, currently at Intel, but more importantly for us today, she's a passionate volunteer with the Climate Reality Project. Seema is going to talk to us about her choice to go vegan and why. Do you have questions about what vegan versus vegetarian means? And how exactly does that affect climate change? We do too. Hi, Seema. Welcome to Desi Collective.
Hi, Anjana. Hi, Meera, Erin. I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
We're also really excited to have Erin Zimmerman here with us today. Erin is trained as a climate reality leader, but has been active in the environmental movement for over a decade. She has been collaborating with us at Desi Collective to explore ways to educate and inspire our community about climate change. Erin's food journey, on the other hand, is a little bit more complicated with a detour through Switzerland, but we will get into all that soon. Hi, Erin. Welcome back to Desi Collective.
Hello, and thank you. It's a pleasure to be back.
So Seema, when did you become aware about climate change and how our actions affect it? How did it change the way you lived?
So growing up in India, I was kind of aware of, you know, things like pollution and just plastic everywhere, especially, you know, towards the later part of my life there. Growing up, I think we were quite eco-friendly. But then as we adopted more of the Western lifestyle, we did, you know, become more wasteful. And that was something I did notice, but I didn't take any action. Like, it was kind of at the back of my mind. But about 7 years back, I was actually working at Cisco at the time. And I happened to observe in the break room how people were using and abusing disposable cups. There weren't any reusable coffee mugs. And I just kind of started to notice how by the end of the day, there was almost like a mountain of like disposable cups that would just be thrown in trash. And it started to bother me. So I started researching, like looking on the company website to see if there was anything that could be done about it. And I discovered the Cisco Green Team, which is a small kind of a club, you know, of people who've come together to incorporate sustainability in the workplace. And once I joined the Green Team, and you know, we had events that were planned, and it just got me really interested in sustainability, and I started to learn more about it. I became the event co-lead, and so I was actually planning events, and that gave me again insights into different aspects of sustainability. So that's how my sustainability journey started. Last year, I got the opportunity to take the climate reality leadership training with Vice President Al Gore. I had already seen his film, An Inconvenient Truth. So I just came across this training and I was so excited. Unfortunately, due to the pandemic, it had to be virtual, but still it was a great experience. And since then, I have been giving presentations, talking to people, having great conversations and raising awareness about climate change.
Most Indians tend to be raised as vegetarian, but you made the conscious decision to take this one step further and become vegan. Why?
So this was my decision to become vegan was not directly related to my interest in sustainability initially. So what happened was that I was reading an article about a temple elephant named Sundar on, I think it was CNN. And I was just like really shocked to see that this elephant was tied up with chains and had, you know, bruises all over his body. And Sir Paul McCartney, Beatles, Sir Paul McCartney had started a campaign to free Sundar. And this had become a global campaign. So I really got intrigued because as a Hindu, you know, we worship Ganesh. And I was like really shocked. How come these temple elephants were being treated with so much cruelty? So that got me involved in animal advocacy because I became aware of cruelty, not just towards elephants in captivity, but also many other animals. And I joined a local organization called Santa Clara County Activists for Animals. And having a conversation with one of my fellow animal advocates, she asked me if I was vegan and I said, no, I'm vegetarian, but I don't believe I support any cruelty. And she said, do you know how cruel dairy is? And I was just shocked because again, this was something so contradictory to, you know, how we are raised because cows are so sacred to Hindus and to Indians, you know. She told me a little bit about it and I did my own research. I watched some videos and I was really shocked that, cows are impregnated every year and the calves are taken away from them within hours. And these calves, the male calves are just discarded, you know. They are killed for wheel here in the US or for leather. And the females, they go back into that dairy industry to be exploited for their entire lives. And when they are unable to produce any milk, they are killed for their meat or for leather. And in fact, India is the largest beef exporter in the world. So meat and dairy are two sides of the same coin. When this realization hit me, I started to take small steps to substitute dairy for non-dairy products. And gradually I became 100% vegan and I've been vegan for almost 6 years now. And then I realized since I was also interested in sustainability around the same time that being vegan was also being more sustainable because plant-based diet is more climate friendly. So both of these kind of connected so well that there was no looking back for me.
Seema, do you see veganism as a personal choice or a part of a larger movement?
So I would say it starts off as a personal choice for many people. A few decades back, I would say it was just that. But now it's become a bigger movement. Because what happened with me was I made this conscious shift, but then I also connected with a lot of different, groups. You know, there are so many Facebook groups. There are organizations like Vegan Outreach that support you in your journey. And in fact, there is a very strong vegan movement in India as well. And I'm part of those groups. So there are three main categories of why people tend to go vegan. One is, to avoid the cruelty aspect. Second is because it's better for the planet. And third is there are many people who realize, and many doctors are saying that too, that plant-based diet is better for your health as well. So there is a very strong movement for all of these three categories of vegans. So I would say it's not just a personal choice, it's a bigger movement for sure, and it's becoming more and more mainstream now.
I was just curious, is being vegan, is that a movement that's part of the Climate Reality Project?
Vegan is not a specific part of it, but actually vegetarianism absolutely is. And as Seema was mentioning, I was vegetarian for quite a while back when I lived in Australia. And my driving sort of the impetus behind this was my concern for the climate. Australia is actually also a very large beef exporter, mostly to Asia. But the Australian ecosystem is incredibly fragile. And beef cattle are very, very destructive on the ecosystem. So they have the largest ranches in the world in Australia, and they're destroying the local fauna, the local flora, and all these really fragile animal scapes. And I thought, I didn't want to be a part of this. And so gradually my husband and I thought, we don't want to contribute to the destruction of this country. And we're aware of the methane consequences. We're aware of the It takes 10 times as much water to produce a pound of beef as it does a pound of grains that people can eat. There's social justice issues over meat and eat versus using the grain to feed humans. And so we just sort of, we just couldn't justify eating meat in this context. So we actually had backyard chickens, and we would use the eggs from those chickens, and they were spoiled, so we didn't feel too bad about it. But other than that, yeah, we became vegetarian specifically for the ecological aspects of it. And there is absolutely a thread of vegetarianism going through the climate movement because, and Seema might know more than I do about the exact specifics of it, but the emissions, the greenhouse gas emissions from meat production are quite substantial. And the emissions are methane, which is actually much worse for the greenhouse effect than regular carbon dioxide, 30 times worse. So there's compelling reasons to, if you're an environmentalist, you sort of can't be an environmentalist without addressing the impact of your diet on the climate.
What is the difference exactly between being a vegan and how different is it from being a vegetarian and plant-based? So, you know, what about honey or milk? You know, desis love their milk with chai or mithai. So, you know, what would they substitute for that instead?
Great question. And I know that there are a lot of people who are confused about what is the difference. So being vegetarian, I think most of us grew up vegetarian. So, you know, we don't consume any meat, but we did consume milk and ghee and butter and all of that. So that's your vegetarian diet where you are not consuming meat, but dairy. Plant-based diet is when it's just limited to your diet that you are not consuming any animal products, meaning you are not just not consuming meat, you're also not consuming dairy. So instead of the cow milk, you are drinking plant-based milk like soy milk or oat milk, right? Being vegan is a broader lifestyle. So when I say that, what I mean is that you are not just limiting, your diet is not the only, you know, the fact that you are not consuming any animal products. You are also not consuming any products of any kind that come from animals, whether it's leather or silk or wool. Honey also. So basically vegans, it's more of, again, being ethical. And since, you know, the idea is that we do not wish to exploit animals or source things from animals when there are alternatives available. And so a vegan lifestyle is a more comprehensive lifestyle where you are avoiding anything that is originating from an animal.
So can you give us some idea of what you would serve, for example, at your family meal, breakfast or lunch or dinner?
Yeah, love that question. And it's interesting how many options you have, because one of the biggest myths that, you know, that people have is that, oh, there'll be so limited options, like, you know, you won't know what to serve your family. So for us, breakfast is usually, you know, it could be a smoothie, you know, made with almond milk, with lots of fruits, toast with non-dairy butter. Lunch is usually either like Mediterranean, Italian, or Mexican. Again, for myself, I either avoid the cheese or I use non-dairy cheese. So pretty much you can get everything non-dairy, even like cream cheese. For example, I want to have bagel with cream cheese. Miyoko's cream cheese, I mean, people vouch that, like, if you didn't know that it was non-dairy, you wouldn't know it. Like, it's so tasty. So it's just like making enchiladas or burritos, you know, with lots of like beans and lettuce and salsa and all of that. I started making falafels recently, and that's one of my favorite vegan dish. Dinner for us is usually Indian. So sometimes it could be as simple as rajma and rice, I sometimes make curry from non-dairy yogurt. So curry and rice, or it would be lots of different curries, you know, how in beans and eggplant and all of that, and a lot of lentils. So I would say I probably consume at least 2 or 3 servings of lentils every day for my protein, because that's, you know, the biggest source. And also tofu. So I also make lots of stir fries with tofu. So it's a very well-balanced, healthy, and delicious, diet, I would say.
Erin, when you transitioned to being a vegetarian, did you miss the meat, and or how did you, what were some of your favorite vegetarian meals once you transitioned to being a full vegetarian?
Believe it or not, I actually transitioned a lot from Western food to Indian food.
Okay.
Because there is a very big culture and a very sort of like, there's a huge variety of Indian foods, and since vegetarianism is sort of a way of life, you don't get stuck with that. You're missing something. Like in Western culture, it's a meat and then like 2 vegetables. And if you don't have the meat, it's sort of like, oh, you're eating an entree, you're eating an hors d'oeuvre, you're missing something. Whereas in Indian cuisine, or because I was in Australia at the time, it was a lot of Malaysian or Indonesian cuisine, that you would just adopt those. I mean, I tried some of the meat substitutes, and I have found that things that are trying to taste or feel like meat, they just don't, it's not meat. It doesn't match up to expectations, but something like tofu, you know, you don't expect it to. And so you just have to adjust your expectations. There are certainly here in the Bay Area, I was a lapsed vegetarian for a while because we moved to Switzerland, and honestly, in places like Switzerland and Germany, if you don't eat meat, you will starve to death, because those are like, that's your option. But we came to the Bay Area and there are a lot of vegetarian options, which were really nice. But actually, so when Seema was talking about lentils, I was like nodding my head, because dal is one of like my favorite go-to meals when we were vegetarians. Dal, and then because we were vegetarians, we would use a lot of halloumi with cheese and use that as a meat replacement, or paneer. We found that really, really useful as well. And as I look around nowadays, the options for vegetarians, and I'm assuming for vegans, though Seema will have to verify, have just exploded. There's so many mm-hmm. alternatives now that it doesn't feel like you're going without. I mean, every now and then I'd smell bacon and just be like, oh my gosh, I miss bacon. But you didn't feel like you were suffering. It was just more like selecting an alternative.
Seema, is your family vegan? Are your kids and husband vegan? And or how do you deal with that if they're not?
My family is vegetarian, always has been vegetarian, but not vegan. Though I see that my kids are kind of gravitating more towards trying, you know, some of the things that I eat. And my daughter is actually very close to being vegan now. One thing I don't do is I don't impose anything on my family. Like, you know, everybody has their own journey. I strongly believe in that. I share my insights, but then I leave it up to them to make their own decisions. So dealing with, you know, them being vegetarian and me being vegan isn't that hard, because it's just like minor tweaks to the same dish. So for the Indian dishes anyway, like we don't use any ghee, so it's not a problem. Pretty much all the Indian dishes I make are vegan in any case, and paneer is usually, I just substitute it for tofu, and my kids love it, so they don't miss it. But even for others, like Mexican food, you know, I'll just take the cheese out when I make the enchilada for myself. So just minor tweaks here and there. But many of our dishes are vegan, and they don't even realize it or even mind it. So, and they're really nice about, occasionally my kids do cook, and they're very nice about making sure that mom has, you know, something to eat. So, it's not hard at all.
Yeah. And just talking about Indian foods, since we tend to eat more of that, what's good for us if we are looking at, you know, turning vegan, and what should we sort of avoid?
Yeah, so in order to turn vegan, one of the biggest dairy items that we tend to consume is milk. And, you know, it's just that our taste buds are used to the cow milk, but I would highly recommend that try different brands, you know, try different, like there is So Delicious, there's Silk, there's Oatly. I mean, the best coffee ever is, you know, use Oatly, oat milk. And I can swear by it. tea is the hardest for Indians to figure out. And that was the last thing that I kind of struggled with, how to make my chai so that I didn't miss it. You know, I didn't miss the original chai. And what I figured was that you just make like black tea and then add the milk, whether it's almond or oat. I don't prefer soy milk because it has a strong taste, but some people do. So just add the milk and then heat the tea in the microwave, but don't boil it with the milk. So that's my pro tip for the chai. Regarding ghee, again, there are a lot of different options, non-dairy butter that you can use. And same for yogurt. I have South Indian friends, vegans in the Bay Area. We have a group and they make their own curd at home. And they say that they don't miss the curd rice, you know, the dairy one. So these are some of the changes you can make. Just use oil instead of the butter and the ghee. That's, I think those are the key ingredients in our cooking. And paneer, as I said earlier, tofu is a good substitute. Just make sure you marinate the tofu so that it loses that, you know, that kind of taste. And it tastes more like paneer if you marinate it before you add it to your dish, whether it's palak or whatever that you're cooking.
That's certainly something to chew over. Thank you, Seema and Erin, for coming by and spending time with us. So thank you both for being here.
It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
This is Desi Collective with Meera Kaimal and Anjana Nagarajan Bhutani. We were in conversation with climate reality activist Seema Ved and Erin Zimmerman. Tune into our next episode of Our Climate is Changing, Why Aren't We? To learn how you can make a difference.